Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you again. That trailer for that movie has some amazing lines in it. It really does. I love when he says, "You don't know what you mean to this town, suddenly being alive again." It goes back to that, what Howard Thurman said when he said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because what the world needs are men and women who are alive." We have no idea, to a degree, what it means to the world that we are alive, and to our town and our area. They said this is a story about a man brought back to life and the town he brought with him. See, that's really what God is up to, bringing us back to life, helping us walk in life, because we will bring the community around us, the world around us, with us, into life. Of course, in the beginning, you see that thing after the accident he has, and he is a trauma victim. And the guy says, "What happened to you?" And he says, "I have no idea." That's, again, how most of us really live our life. Pretty much just disoriented. We have no idea what's happened. And so as we go through this weekend, we're just going to try to ask God for more clarity into our life, and we're going to find some things. So let's pray for a moment. Father, we welcome you into our day, and we ask you to father us again this day, that we would hear from you like that character did. "You are my son." That's who you are. That you would speak that throughout this day and throughout tomorrow to us. And so we invite you into this, to every session here. You are invited in. We ask you to come. And we once again bring our lives under your authority now, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, under your claim over our life, our past, our present, and our future. We bring your authority over it now. And we break every other thing that has tried to claim our life other than you. We forbid it. We break it by the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, we give you our heart, and we ask you to awaken our heart, that we can hear and we can see and we can receive all that you have for us now. Come. Come for us now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Soren Kierkegaard said, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward." And that's the problem. That is the problem. I mean, we can look back and go, "Oh, I get that now. Oh, that makes sense to me." But that's just not the way we can live, because we have to live forward. And so life can be, like I said, very almost traumatizing, confusing. Now, one of the things that makes that so hard is really our culture has created this environment where confusion and unknowing is kind of related to just stupidity or something's wrong. I mean, we have those questions that go on in our heart. Things maybe like, "I've always loved music, but I don't know how to make that part of my life." Or, "Why does my life feel like it's on hold right now and nothing seems to be happening? As much as I am open to it and I try, it just feels like nothing is going on. Nothing's cooperating." Those kind of questions that we don't have an answer to, and we just have to wrestle with, what is that? Why don't I get any answers, any clarity right now? In Romans 11:33, Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" There is this depth and this mystery to life that we live in. I mean, that's what he's saying, is who can know God and trace out his steps, what he's doing? I mean, there are things that God is doing that we cannot possibly understand. There is a whole lot of mystery in life. There's just mystery that we live in. And what I want to say in the beginning and in the middle at the end is, don't confuse the mystery of life with disorientation or ignorance. It's just mystery. There is a mystery to God and mystery to our own life that we live in. knowing you men, having an idea of who you are, and knowing what you are taught and where you want to go in your life and all, you probably have all taken personality tests of one kind or another, spiritual gifts tests, and many things, as I have. And they are typically helpful for a while because they help us articulate something that's true about us. We hear something and we say, gosh, that is true of me. I've never been able to put that in words. But the reality is it's really helpful for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. And like me and like other people, you can ask a man after that, let's say a month or two afterwards, and say, so what is the purpose of your life? What are you here to do uniquely? And most men will go, I really don't know. I don't have an idea. I kind of know the work environment I should work in and that I do best in, but honestly, I don't know what the calling, the purpose of my life is uniquely. And part of that reason is the depth of your life. I mean, your heart and your life is so deep that there's just mystery to it. And there's a mystery to God that we live in. So what I want to say is I want to get off some of the pressure of we ought to know, and especially the older we become, the more we can feel that you ought to know by now. Either that or you just get through college and you've been told, you ought to know by now. I mean, after 4 years or 6 years and all the money we spent, you ought to know, right? We've all felt it and we've all probably done it to our kids. The fact is we live in mystery. And I want to just take off the burden and the weight of having to know. What I want to say is we all live in mystery. It's just the nature of the life that we live in. Oswald Chambers said, the call of God is like the call of the sea. No one hears it but the one who has the nature of the sea in him. And this expression really came home to me one day. We were on a family vacation and we met this couple from England. And as we got to know them over meals and we bump into them, they started telling us, they were like 5 years away from retirement. They're both policemen in England. And I asked them, what's your dream? What do you want to do? When you're done working and you are free to do anything you want, what do you want to do? And they said, we want to sail around the world. I said, we'd love to sail. I mean, just in our own boat. And I said, really? Explain that to me. He said, oh, it is so great to be out in the middle of the ocean. You cannot see land anywhere. And I mean, this just makes my hands sweat, you know? I'm thinking, you enjoy that? That's what you want to do? And they said, oh, it's just so amazing to be out there. And then a storm comes up and there's, you know, 10, 20-foot waves. Now I'm really almost feeling nauseous over this. And I'm going, I so don't get your heart on this thing. And I say, what do you do? And they said, oh, it's really great. You have the sailboat design that you can batten down the hatch, be inside, and your boat can turn upside down and you're okay. And I'm thinking, that's just not okay. And they are smiling and this is their dream. And I thought, see, I don't have the nature of the sea in me. So this makes no sense to me whatsoever. I have something else in me, but that's what was in their heart. And that made them come so alive because they had the nature of the sea in them. So Oswald Chambers says, the call of God is like the call of the sea. No one hears it but the one who has the nature of the sea in him. And then he says, it cannot be stated definitely what the call of God is to, because his call is to be in comradeship with himself for his own purposes. And the test is to believe that God knows what he is after. That statement alone is enough for the whole weekend. But you see, there is a mystery. There is something that is in your heart. And it is the call of God, and particularly your call into the story. And only you know it. No one else can tell you what it is because it's in your heart and your heart alone. Now, God will use other people to give you indicators and ask you questions and say things where you go, oh, okay, that makes sense about my heart now. Wow, that was really helpful. But there's a mystery to our heart and to our calling, and it's right there. Again, Paul says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. God is putting in your heart the desire to do what you are to do. And again, that's the really great news, that what you are supposed to do is what you most want to do. And often we get this idea that, no, if I'm going to do something for God, it has to be something I don't want to do, because that's the greatest sacrifice I can make. You know. Now, the news is, know what God wants you to do is what you most want to do. But you will make sacrifices in that. You know that. There are going to be things you're going to have to sacrifice as you're pursuing the deepest desire in your heart for the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. It is so true. The mystery of godliness is great. The mystery of our relationship with God, of His life in us, and our place in this story, the mystery of that is great. We live in mystery, and we must be comfortable with mystery. We really must be if we're going to journey in all of this. And again, the modern era has come and kind of taken all mystery away, the era we lived in of scientific reasoning and all of this. C.S. Lewis said, the best is perhaps what we understand least. The best is perhaps what we understand least. And it is true of your life and mine. And the best of your life is what you probably don't even understand yet. The best of my life, I don't even know about yet. It is true because we are journeying into mystery. It's just part of life and the story that we are in. What is most glorious about your life is yet to be revealed. It is yet to be revealed. And I want to really speak to us older men about this. Because often what we hear in a form of a kind of an accusation, this whisper is, you've already lived so many years, it's kind of over. I mean, if you were going to do something big, that would have been in your early years, but you didn't. And it's not going to happen now. And what I want to say to you is true. Your best years are in front of you. And the best thing about you is yet to be revealed. It's just true. It's a mystery of life and how it works. There is this unfathomable depth to your life and to your heart and to your relationship with God. So don't confuse mystery with disorientation, right? We define disorientation as being in the state of, oh, I don't think there's anything bigger going on. I think this is fairly safe, really. And I don't think my life has much consequence on anything. That's disorientation. But not being clear in some aspects about who you are and what's next, that's just mystery. That's not disorientation. We need to be clear on that. Because then we know what we're dealing with. Mystery is something to be accepted and journeyed into. Not rejected, not denied, not regretted, just accepted and journeyed into. Going back to the Lord of the Rings, Bilbo Baggins, this is in the book, Bilbo Baggins writes a poem about Aragorn, another central figure in the story. And he writes this. He says, not all that is gold glitters, and not everyone who wanders is lost. Oh, that's an amazing thing. Because you see, not all that is gold in our life glitters. It's not always recognizable, right? If something glitters, you can go, oh, that's gold, that's valuable. Well, not everything in our life that is gold glitters. We often don't know what is gold in the moment or looking forward. And not all who wander are lost. Just because I wander going, boy, I wonder what's the next step, I wonder what I'm supposed to do, it doesn't mean that we're lost. It just means we're living in mystery. Again, going back to what Jonathan Swift said, it is in a man as it is in soil, where sometimes there is a vein of gold that he does not know about. Not all that is gold in your life glistens, so it's hard to recognize, but the gold is there. Now, I want to take you through a story today, all the way through a story, and I'm going to take you through the movie, Mr. Holland's Opus. This is an amazing story about a man who is trying to go after the desire of his heart. This man's desire was to be a musician, and specifically to write a musical composition, an opus. And that's all he wanted to do with his life. But what he found was, in order to support his family, he had to do something to have an income because this wasn't doing it. So he goes to teach at a high school, and he did not want to teach at a high school. But he just saw it as kind of a necessary evil, something I got to do what I really want to do. So in this beginning scene, he has an encounter with the principal. And the principal reads him right off. I mean, she just gets his number right off. And this is a man who is disoriented. So I want you to listen to the confrontation because he needs this. He needs to understand right now he is completely disoriented. But on the other hand, there is some gold in this for him. Yeah, he says, I really hate that woman and I hate teaching. He's lost. I mean, his compass is stuck. He cannot see the vein of gold right now. I mean, he is a man that doesn't even see it. And again, it's just so true of us as we walk into our life. And we've got to look for that vein of gold. And we have to recognize and come out of disorientation, right? And the way we get out of disorientation is that we are alert and oriented to story, what's going on around us, really, unseen. We're alert and oriented to our desires. And we're alert and oriented to journey and the journey we're on. But we can't do well in mystery with a broken compass, a stuck compass. But there is just mystery in our life. Paul says this amazing thing. I know you've heard it, but think about it in terms of what I'm talking about with mystery and living in it, journeying in it, accepting it. He says in 1 Corinthians 13:9, now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy actually reveals only a little. Now, this is Paul speaking, okay? This is Paul who writes these books in Scripture. And God reveals things to him, and he says, really, even the gift of prophecy only reveals a little. He said, now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. God knows you and I completely and perfectly. Even Paul can say, I only know partially, actually. That's one man I would not expect to hear that from. But do you see the reality? He's saying, men, we live in mystery and we are not going to see perfectly. We are not. It's not the nature of life here and what's happening. There is mystery in life. In 1 Corinthians 8:2, he said, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. Oh, that's really good. That's like a really gentle rebuke, isn't it? The man who thinks he knows something does not know as he ought to know. In other words, Paul's saying, if you know something, then you ought to know there's mystery to life. And you just accept it. And you live in it. And you don't let the enemy translate that into your ignorance or you're not doing something right or you ought to know. No, there's just mystery. Albert Einstein said, it is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose your holy curiosity. That's the way to live life. Just having a holy curiosity. Huh, wonder why that happened. God, what's going on in that? What's going on that I don't see? What are you telling me about me? What's coming out that I don't know about? See, that's just living with a holy curiosity. Just living with mystery every day. But what I want to say to you, as we travel into asking God for clarity this weekend. And we're going to do that. We're asking God and we're seeking for clarity. But what I also need to say to you in the terms of mystery is that in a lot of life, you can have clarity or you can have God. And you must choose. Okay, let me say that again. You can have clarity or you can have God. And you must choose. And let me tell you why I say that. Because the nature of life, the nature of our heart is mystery, the nature of God is mystery, that there are situations that we get in that you and I are not going to find any clarity in. We're not. And we're going to have to let go of that search in the moment and just choose to walk with God. C.S. Lewis had this amazing thing he said. He said, as thinkers, we are cut off from what we think about, like tasting. You eat something, and if you think really carefully about the taste of it. So let me repeat this again. As thinkers, we are cut off from what we think most about, such as tasting, touching, willing, loving, hating. We are very logical people in the way that we think. And the more logical we try to be, often the more we are cut off from the experience. The more deeply we enter into reality, the less we think. So he goes in and he gives an example. He said, you cannot study pleasure in the moment of a marital embrace. Okay, now think about that for a minute. For those of you who are married men, you're in the middle of a very intimate romantic moment. If you just stop for a second and go, what is pleasure? What is really going on right now? Why do I like this? I mean, the moment's gone. I mean, it's just, right? It's just gone. And you know your wife's going to pick up on this in a heartbeat, you know, because they're so intuitive. They just know. So he goes, for instance, trying to study pleasure in the moment of a marital embrace. He said, or trying to understand repentance while you're repenting. Right? If you're trying to study repentance while you're repenting, God's going, okay, what's going on in your heart right now? You're not with me anymore. He said, or analyzing the nature of humor in the middle of laughter. Right? You can't analyze something and be in it the same moment. And C.S. Lewis says, it's the same with life. You know, there are moments in mystery where we just have to be with God and let go of clarity. I don't know what's going on. God, I'm just here with you right now. I just want your presence. I just want to be with you in this. And that's what's hard, because sometimes we as men just have to say, I'm letting go of clarity right now. It's just God I want in this moment. I just want to be in the moment of the disappointment, of the joy, of the questioning, of whatever it is, just in the moment with God. And that's what this modern era has taken away from us, because often we choose clarity thinking it's the right thing instead of God. In Ephesians 3:19, Paul says this amazing thing, and it feels like a contradiction. He prays that we would know or perceive the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Okay, how can you know something that surpasses knowing? What he's saying is, there is something that surpasses understanding, and you need to just live in it, right? It's God versus clarity. We're not going to understand this life, what it means that God loves us that deeply. Paul says, you know what? Perceive it, but you're not going to have full knowledge of it. Just live in it, in the mystery of all of that. Mystery in our life. And there's something lost when we try to eliminate all of mystery. There is. I remember a guy I ran into in another state who was a physician said to me one time in a conversation, he said, Gary, we can tell you why a person experiences anything in their life. We can tell you where it comes from chemically in your brain and the whole idea of chemical reactions in the brain and this kind of thing. He said, we can create for you through chemicals and maneuvering that. We can create for you pleasure or despair or a sense of fulfillment or a sense of depression. We know how it all works. And my heart just sank. And I thought, really? That's all my life is about? My experience of God is nothing but neurochemical reactions in my brain, and you can create it for me or take it away. My heart sank, and life kind of went away for me in that moment. Now think about that. If that were true, how come we're not all really happy? I mean, how come we just can't buy happiness and fulfillment? It isn't true. I want to read for you something that the philosopher and Nobel Peace Prize winner Henry Bergson said. He said, since the Renaissance, modern science has gradually extended its casual explanation into one phenomena after another, psychological and biological, as well as the purely physical, accounting for life, every part of life, and consciousness in purely physical or chemical terms. Creative novelty, human purpose and freedom have often been disregarded. You see, he saw this happening. He saw this where science was going to say, it's all scientifically understandable. There's no mystery whatsoever. Because when this world did that to us, we all understand there's a prince of this world, and that's the evil one. He knew that if he did that, if he took mystery out, we would lose God in the midst of that, because there's so much mystery to God and to our own life. Understanding or God. And there has to be this exploration into the mystery of God's heart and our own heart. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to find it out. Men, that is so important because that is the nature of life that we live in. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to discover them or to find them out. It really is. God loves to hide things. He does. He loves to hide it. Not so you won't find it, so that you will look for it and find it. See, because it's the glory of kings to discover it, to find it out. Now, one thing that my wife and I loved to do when our children were small is we would love to hide Easter eggs, you know, filled with candy or whatever. We'd love to do it and just hide these things. And it was really fun for she and I to figure out before the kids came in the room where to hide it, where they could eventually find it, but not right away. You know, it had to be something of a challenge. And so we would be doing this, and I'd say, hey, sweetheart, I don't think they're ever going to find that, or that's too high for them to see, or, you know, or whatever. And that was fun doing it, to hide something, but only because we wanted them to find it after a while. And there's nothing like watching someone find something and be so happy they found it. I found it. Look at this. Here's an... You know what? I think that's just a reflection of this verse. I think it is the nature of God in us of that verse. That is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and is the glory of a king to find it out. And he conceals things. Again, not so that we won't find it, because he says, you're going to love looking for this. And when you find it, you are going to be so happy. And then when you find it, you go look for the next clue, right? That who we are. Now, lest you think I'm making too much up out of one verse in Proverbs, because I've seen people do that, let me take you to another scripture. So not only is this an Old Testament proverb, but Jesus said the same thing, right? He said this exact same thing. And this is found in Luke 11:9, where Jesus says, okay, so here's what I say to you guys. Ask, and it will be given to you. In other words, you know the correct translation is ask and keep asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. Jesus is saying the same thing. There are things that are hidden. There's mystery. Just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and you'll find it. You will. I promise you. It's the nature of God and your life, and you will find. But most of us, our experience is the only time we ask much about our life, or very much about our life, is when we hit some wall, right? And we hit the wall and we go, I don't like my work. What am I made for? That's what makes that question come up in our heart. Or we get laid off, or we have to move, or usually some kind of crisis, big or small, happens. And then we go to God and we say, God, who am I? What do you want me to do? What have you put in my heart? What are you up to? And we pursue God. 15 minutes, right? 20 minutes. If we're really hurting, maybe for a day. We pursue him, we're praying, we're asking, we're listening. And if we're in a huge crisis, maybe a week. And then we just kind of walk away, and we are done asking, seeking, and knocking. And Jesus says here, ask and keep asking, because you're going to get an answer. Seek and just keep seeking, because you're going to find. And knock, and the door will be open. But he said, that's your nature. And it is to your glory to do that. You will love it. See, mystery is essential for our heart, and it's the way things are. And so our life is about the slow progressive revelation of who we are, our calling, our place in the story, what's going on, just God revealing himself little by little. And it is to your glory to find, to keep seeking, asking, knocking. Okay, so let me take you back now to the verse I mentioned last night. Psalm 25:12-14. God will instruct him, the man who fears God, who knows God, God will instruct him in the way chosen for him. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He will speak to us. He says, ask, seek, and knock, and I will answer, and you will find, and I will open. It's just the life we're in. Now, let me give you a parable. Let me give you one of the stories that Jesus talks about. It's in Luke 5. It says, Jesus finishes speaking to the crowd, and he's on the beach, and he speaks to two fishermen. And he says to Simon, what I want you to do is I want you to put out into deep water, and I want you to let down your nets for a catch. And Simon, who is a fisherman, and he has been up all night fishing, this is what he does with his life, okay? He's a professional at this. And Jesus is a speaker. He doesn't even know who Jesus is at this moment, really. He just heard him talking as he's fixing his nets. But it says, Simon answers back, and he says, Master, We have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we will let down our nets. Okay, something happened in that moment. As Peter, Simon Peter, is listening to Jesus, he must have been really stunned by the authority that Jesus spoke with and by his life. So that's the, but since you said so, all right, we'll go back out and let down our nets. And you know the story, right? They go out, they let down their nets, and not in a particularly good time to catch fish. It was during the night. And they catch so many fish that it almost sinks their boat. They break their nets, the whole thing. Now, what happens to Simon after this incident? Jesus says to Simon, I am going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, he gives Simon his calling. He says, okay, now, because of this incident, I'm able to tell you who you are and what you're going to do. What you notice is the same kind of thing. It's just a different kind of fish. Now it's men. But it's because he was willing to go out into deep waters and obey Jesus that he was able to speak, if you will, his name to him. The reason I tell you that is, men, we are not going to understand our life when we stay in the shallow waters of Christianity. We just stay really shallow. I don't want to deal with mystery. Not my heart's mystery, not God's mystery, not life's mystery. And we just stay in shallow water. And the fact is, there, we will never understand who we are until we kind of beckon with the call of God to go into deeper waters where it's mystery. You don't know what's out there. I went to high school in Florida, and I would watch. Everybody loved to stay where they could get in the water, maybe up to their chest, you know. But the reality was that the real beauty and the real adventure was out there where the water's deeper. I mean, that's where you're going to see some phenomenal things. And that's where you can scuba dive, and that's where you can snorkel, and that's where you can do all sorts of things. Out there. But for most people, that was mystery they didn't want to deal with, right, where they could get over their head. But God's call is, come out into the deeper waters of mystery. Live here with me, and you will find out who you are. And that's where this kind of life, this abundant life, where you catch so many fish that your boat begins to sink, that's where that life is, in the deeper waters with God, in a life of mystery. Frederick Buechner said, there is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it. Always hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or to not recognize him. But all the more fascinatingly, because of that, all the more compellingly and hauntingly. And he says, listen to your life and see it for the fathomless mystery that it is, in the boredom and in the pain, no less than in the excitement and gladness of your life. Okay, I want to take you back to another clip. And in this movie now, Mr. Holland, again, is really struggling with having to teach in high school, and he's still not getting the time to really write. Life is not going the way he wanted it to go. But he's starting to realize there's something here. There's a vein of gold in this. Something is glittering now. I see it. And so in this particular instance, he meets up with this young girl. This young girl comes actually into his room in the morning. And what she wants to do is give her flute back and say, just give it to someone else that wants to play. I'm done. I quit. This is not working for me. And it's kind of the first time that Mr. Holland is having to deal with mystery. Not only the mystery of his own life, but the mystery of this young girl's life. What's really going on? How do I live in the mystery with her and help her find, if you will, God in the middle of mystery? So watch this. Isn't it amazing in that clip? He said, it's already in your head and your fingers and your heart. Kind of like that Bagger Vance scene, right? It's already there. It's brought into the world with it. It's yours and yours alone. You just need to bring it. And see, that's the first time that he's starting to have to deal with the idea that there is mystery. And you just need to walk into it and bringing her into that. It's already something there. And God will reveal things in time. It's his invitation. You see, the whole idea of mystery, it really is an invitation into intimacy with God. He doesn't tell us everything because, honestly, as men, if he did, we'd just leave God and go off and do it. Right? Just give me my orders, God. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And we go off and we do it. And we leave God. And God says, no, that's not what I want. I really just want you. So I'm not going to tell you everything. Because I want you and I to stay close. I want you and I to stay in conversation. I want you to ask, seek, and knock. And that's with us, you and I, intimate allies. Mystery is an invitation into intimacy with God. It's just always asking, God, what's going on? What are you saying? What's that about? You know, I always struggle with the verse about pray without ceasing at all times. And I thought, how do you do that? Okay, come on. I mean, did every minute I got to think about the church in Afghanistan? And I got to think about, and I'm thinking, how do you do that? Well, you know how you do it. You just live in mystery with God. I mean, just throughout the day, something happens, you say, God, what was that? What was that about? Why did that happen? What is it that I don't see that's going on? Or God, are you saying something to me in that? Or God, what do you want to say? Is there a scripture that I need to remember right now or go to? Or what can I do for that person? Or what's the battle that they're in? And how should I respond? That's living, praying without ceasing. I mean, we live with God like that. You will not stop praying. You just don't. I mean, you wake up in the morning going, okay, God, what's up for today? Or what was that dream about? Or why do I have this thing going on in my heart? That's how we pray without ceasing, because we are willing to live in mystery. Right? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to find it out. We're to ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Use your understanding. Wisdom is good, but don't lean on it. Lean on God. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will eventually bring light to mystery. And then he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. You can have understanding and clarity, or you can have God a lot of times. And God says, choose me. We'll walk together. I want to play for you the last scene in this movie. Mr. Holland, as you can see now, is coming into this. He's seeing the vein of gold and circumstances. He's starting to understand the journey. And he actually now loves teaching students. He loves helping them find their heart in music as he's finding his own. Well, what happens at the end is, as he's starting to love this now, the school comes to him and says, look, we have budget cuts, so we're cutting the music program. I'm sorry. We have to let you go. And he's thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, I came in here not wanting to do this, and now I love it, and you're letting me go now? I mean, this is over? What has my life been about? I haven't written my opus, really. And now I don't have the students. I mean, my life doesn't make sense. I've lost everything. My life is a waste. And then you have the scene where his wife and his son who is born deaf, which is even more of a mystery to him, saying, I love music and my son is deaf. He can't even enjoy what I enjoy. Okay, so they come to pick him up. And they are walking through the hallways now with his stuff from his desk to leave the school. And now you come into this scene where God is revealing the truth behind mystery in his life. I just want you to stay in that moment for a minute. Just for a moment. And just be aware of what's going on in your heart. Maybe the questions coming up or the desires. Just for a moment, just stay there in that. The best about your life is yet to be revealed. The best about your life, no matter how old you are, is in mystery. And it will be revealed. It will, as we ask, seek, and knock, as we walk intimately with God. One of the things that's so powerful about that, the story and that scene is, you see, Mr. Holland did not understand the impact of his life. He thought that it was about a piece of music. He didn't know that it was about something much bigger. And he didn't know the hundreds upon thousands of lives that he was going to change. And there is an impact that you were designed to have, and you will. You will. As you walk with God, you will. And you don't see it yet. I don't see it yet, but you will. It's the mystery. You just walk with God in the mystery of it. And you don't walk under the accusation of you don't get it. For some reason, you're not quick enough to understand this. For some reason, maybe God doesn't talk to you and it's just not working for you. It's just mystery. If you are oriented, if you are alert and alive to the story and to your desires in your heart and to the journey, you will. You just walk into mystery. Just walk with God in it. Because there is something very glorious about your life that is yet to be revealed, but it's there. It is there. Don't interpret your life by this present moment. You don't want to do that. And so this weekend is really very much a set aside, consecrated time for you. Whether you knew what you were walking into this weekend or not, it doesn't matter. You're here and God is here for you and with you. This is a set aside, consecrated time. And you're going to have time just to get alone with God and say, God, now speak. I'm asking and I am seeking and I'm knocking. Put as much light on mystery as you can with me. That's what this time is for. That's what this time is about. Not just more knowledge about how all this works, but to ask, seek, and knock this weekend individually with God. And it is an invitation to intimacy with Him.